Right. Ready when you are.
Oh, I suppose we can start the show. Why not? Let's do it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 553 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is November 17th, 2019. And if you're wondering what kind of podcast this is, well, we are a gaming podcast. We are all about video games and life. We like to think of ourselves as more mature, wise individuals, but the realities are not nearly that nice. My name, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Joining me today, a sausage fest, actually. It's just there's no women on the podcast today. It's absolutely beef to beef to beef. We've got at the top of the beef chain, the ginger, also known as number 13, Pete Chen.
Hello, Greg, the legit chinee on Xbox and Twitter. Hello.
Hello, Pete. Good to have you.
I don't give two shits about wildlings. It's gingers I hate.
And that is the lovely Mr. Mark Wright spinning the decks with the now back in style tin can headset.
Yeah. Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Mark Alex on all the gaming platforms and everything. Yeah, I've got the old tin cups back. Managed to repair them.
Yeah, excellent.
They're comfier as well. They're comfier than black ones. And black ones hurt after a while, but these are really cool. That's why I repaired them, you know, for extra life. Because 24 hours, I could never wear them others. For 24 hours.
Yeah. As comfortable as my headset that I have, I did after a while. I was like, okay, I'm tired of wearing headphones.
Yeah.
But yeah, welcome back. Well, welcome to the show. If you are listening to us for the first time, well, first of all, thank you very much. Secondly, just know we do broadcast every Sunday, and I mean pretty much every Sunday with the exception of like Christmas, New Year's when there's a conflict. Sundays, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. And if you happen to live in the Central Time Zone, we're sorry, but also 3 p.m. there. We're on Twitch, we're on Mixer, occasionally we're on YouTube when it works.
When it works. Oh, let me check.
When it works. All you have to do, type in OC Podcast. Just do the do a search, OC Podcast. You'll find us there. We also, of course, publish. I can't even talk today. Publish our podcast on audio. So iTunes, Stitcher, pretty much any podcast download app you can have out there will find us. So go forward, subscribe up, give us a like if there's a rating system. We would appreciate that. And without further ado, we'll talk about real quickly one new Twitch follower that it's Anyata Bizquick. Maybe? Quick Pick? I don't know. I don't know how to say that. That's a really, really long name.
I'm not even going to attempt it.
Name.
Anyata Bizquick.
Sure, that works. Pete, you get the gold star. Anyata Bizquick. Quick. Anyway, moving on. Hey, we've got birthdays to celebrate today. All kinds of birthdays to celebrate today. We're going to go from the most famous to the least famous. So starting with the most famous, Leo Chin and Jimmy Chin and Madeline Chin all having birthdays. So we need to celebrate that. Then, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis. She is dying once again, repeatedly, over and over. I heard a little feedback.
Yeah, I heard that. It was like a little duck going, meh, meh.
Yep. Little duck feedback.
It's
always nice. It probably has everything to do with you.
Is that Twitch follower, is it Anyata Bizquick?
That could be.
Yeah, it's probably Robin.
Anyata Bizquick.
It's probably Robin. Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
We're slow off the mark.
Yeah. It would have been funnier if we actually had read it properly, but because it was such a stupidly bad like name, there was no. I would like to go back with Ayana Nadada Piz Quickvicky.
Yeah.
That's the way I would take that all. Jamie Lee Curtis, Miley Cyrus is turning something. Scarlett Johansson.
Turning tricks.
Yeah, she might be turning tricks. Scarlett Johansson could turn a trick for me.
Yeah.
I have such a crush on that woman. So she is having a birthday, and in my mind, forever 21. Joe Biden, 100 today. Congratulations, Joe Biden, 100 years old. If you don't believe that, he looks it.
Don't even know who he is.
Yeah, Jodie Foster and Meg Ryan also.
I used to have a crush on Meg Ryan years ago when she was in Inner Space. Remember that? How old am I now?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, had a crush on her until she filed the restraining order, and that pretty much ended all of that. Anyway, happy birthday.
Joe Biden, Mark, is the 47th Vice President of the United States, and in some time in his career, he looks like Trump with a bit of weight loss.
Right.
He's running for presidency in this upcoming election.
All right.
Well. But he is up there in years. I believe he is over 80 years old now.
So,
there's that.
Well, forgetting the celebrities, I've got a special jingle just for Leo, Jimmy, and Madeline.
The most famous. Okay. Enough of that. Maybe one of these days we'll let that song finish. All right. Let's dive into some story time. We've got stories to tell.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
And the first story is, Restream is not streaming to YouTube. It won't play with YouTube again this week. Bastard thing.
Mark.
I don't know why.
All right. Well, let's talk about it's great to be with you. It's great to be with you guys. I'm not traveling. I'm excited. There was no travel in my work schedule. I was home. It was going to be a quiet, easy week. And then suddenly my son threw up first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. And proceeded to throw up like every 4 or 5 hours for the entire 24-hour period of time. Last throw up happening at about 1 o'clock in the morning, which was fantastic because we had decided to let him sleep with us in the bed. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So nothing like in the middle of the night having to change out your sheets because everything smells like vomit. And I think he just did it to get out of going to school the next day because he was fine for the entire rest of the afternoon. Yeah. But yeah, so there was that. So that was the highlight of my week. How about you guys? Mark, what about you? What was your highlight of your week?
Similar thing, really. Medical issues. Jenny ended up in hospital again on Tuesday. Just suddenly overnight, really bad difficulty breathing, and it made her heart start going fast again. Going to originally just go to the GPs, and she gradually deteriorated, so I took her straight up to A&E. And she's got pneumonia. Well, she had. Well, suppose she's still got it. She's got pneumonia again. I think this is about fourth time she's had this in 2 years.
I think, Mark, the reality is she likes when you start taking care of things around the house.
Yeah.
And the only way she can get you to do this is by having illness.
So she's been loading up, laid in bed for the last 4 days. I've been doing all the washing, ironing, cooking, cleaning, all that shit. So,
yeah.
Which I don't mind because you got to do your bit, haven't you?
Stuff gets done around the house when Mark is...
Yeah, but yeah, she's been on strong antibiotics, IV antibiotics. She came home today, actually, this afternoon, and she's got some more antibiotic tablets to take, but it's clearing up nicely, and she's doing a lot better. So, yeah, bit of a busy week, because when she's in hospital, your day just disappears, because go to work in the morning, I have to change my shift so I can go in earlier, so I can finish earlier to make it to the hospital for evening visiting times before the visiting closes. And then it's home late, something to eat, sort the dog out, have a shower and everything. And then before you know it, it's bedtime. So, yeah, bit of an uneventful week for me this week, gaming-wise.
All right. You know what? Actually, real quickly, one other thing that happened for me that we'll talk about real quickly before we talk about Pete's absolute boring past couple weeks. I mean, Jesus, talk about nothing happening. Yeah. Anyway, I got a new notebook laptop, and so I was excited. My old work laptop was aging out pretty well, and so I was just like, you know what, time to get a new one. Work shipped it to me, so I get it, and I'm setting it up, And we have an Office 365 account for the business. So, you know, I log into Office 365. It's actually on paper a very easy, seamless thing, because once you log into Office 365, it downloads all the right programs and all the stuff that you've been storing in the cloud, you instantly have access to. So, I mean, literally, it is, you know, I mean, even back when I my previous laptop had started having some issues and I just wiped it clean. I just reset it, factory reset it, went back in, signed in, loaded everything back up, and it was super easy. So my anticipation was everything was going to be super easy this time. However, the IT guy at my work decided that we needed to set up two-step authentication with our backend, which, again, not a big deal. Okay. I was assuming this was going to be the pretty standard thing that I do with most of my Microsoft product now, which is, you know, you'll get the text message to your phone line with a code that you have to enter in.
Yeah.
So going through all of this, and I get to Outlook, and I'm logging into Outlook, and it says, okay, you know, give me your username and your password. So I enter in my username and then the password I have for Office 365. Well, apparently Microsoft Outlook for the Windows 10, and I'll call it an app because even though it's the program now, they call it an app within the nomenclature. Anyway, there's a code that you have to get from Outlook or for Outlook specifically. It is different from your Office 365 password. And the problem is, I had on the Office 365 and then Outlook said, remember my information. And once I did that, it remembered the password stupidly and would not let me enter in a new password. Could not do it. So I had to go through all these recovery steps. I was about ready to throw this laptop out the front door. I was so frustrated. It took me 2 days to get this stupid thing set up, but it should have taken about a half hour. So that was fun. Anyway, all right, Pete, let's hear. You did nothing this past couple of weeks. I think you still in bed.
Nothing. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. Strap yourselves down. I've got a story. Right, okay, so it's my 40th. I ain't going to bang on about it but too much. But I went to see Lost Voice Guy. He's a comedian that won a talent contest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A couple of years ago. Yeah, so he's cerebral palsy, and he's got some problem. Anyway, it knocked his voice out. He had a problem with his voice box, and all of his comedies projected through an iPad. He types out all of the stuff, and you know, obviously it goes through the PA system. And Craig, and he's great. You know, I watched him on Britain's Got Talent, and I thought, oh, this guy's cool. And I saw it come about earlier on in the year, around February, March, and I thought, I'll get these tickets. And the gig was really, really good. I enjoyed it. But the trouble is, he started an hour later, which was a bit annoying. But, it was good. I had a surprise party the next day, which was really cool. I got taken on a trip to the Jurassic Coast. So that's on the south coast of England, Greg.
Did you see dinosaurs?
No, not really, no.
Robin stayed in Northern Ireland.
You see some... you see some rocks, Durdledore, the white nose. What was the other things? There's a cove, Lulworth Cove. I went to Lulworth Castle. We had a nice few days. We stayed in a little pod in the middle of a field, middle of nowhere, no phone signal, no TV. It was ace.
Hey, you know what, Pete? If I had known you were going to be doing a trip about looking to go visit castles, I would have invited you to my castle. Next time, let me know. I'll get you a VIP pass.
Get me on the guest list.
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
Thanks. You're so good. Then I got back to work, and it was really busy at work. I think I got back on the Wednesday. Yeah. And then the weekend come. My aunt passed away last Sunday.
Sorry to hear.
Yeah. Thank you. It was just, you know, it was coming. She had dementia. She was in a home, and she wasn't doing too good, but she passed away on a Sunday. And I had that job of phoning around everyone, and it's just like, it was a bit emotionally draining phoning around folk. And I just thought, I just went up for it last week. So sorry I didn't come on.
No, it's okay.
It was my son's birthday this week. Yesterday, I went to see a show called Don't Flop. And if you've never, ever heard of this before and you like rap battles or you like rap or you like hip-hop in any way, shape or form, then Google Don't Flop. It's a battle rap production. It's based in England. It's a little bit like King of the Dot. I don't know if you've heard of that over in Canada and the States, Greg, but they're rap battles.
No. Okay.
So I went to see that yesterday with Shell and Kira. It was wicked. Absolute wicked time. And the main event, it was two gingers. They absolutely ripped the living shit out of each other. One was from New York. The other was from England. And yeah, they absolutely just killed each other about their pale skin and the shades of their ginger hair. But they laid into each other, somewhat rotten. So if you want to check that out, that's Red Flag and I'm trying to think of the other guy's name.
Peach. Anyway,
no, but I was I'll be there in the background though. I'll be there just watching between them. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So Don't Flop, that was ace. We've got another week of birthdays. The twins' birthday this week. I'm visiting friends in Manchester next weekend, and Greg put masturbating in the middle of all of that text. So that probably might go on as well. Who knows? But that's pretty much it. I've had a busy couple of weeks. I've got a busy week coming ahead, and then it'll start to die down just before Christmas. So I'm glad to be back on the show. I've missed not being on. So thanks.
We've missed you, Pete. We've missed you dearly.
I missed one. I had a delivery. So there's this box come, right?
I was going to ask about that. Tato.
So there was a box come, quite a big box. Robin says, like, have you checked your post? You know, someone called Matt Seff was like, oh, yeah, next door neighbor. Right. So I went next door, got this box, and it was to Sir Pete Chin. And there was some mention about the best crisps in the world on there. So I opened it up, and I've got a pack of, or should I say a box of Tato crisps, and they're the best cheese and onion crisps in the world. And I had a whole box of them, 48 packs.
So, I think Robin's being disingenuous with you.
Why?
Because they're not actually the best potato chips in the world.
Well, I also said, I did a video review for him. Michelle and Kira, we did a video review, a live opening and tasting, and we didn't go with the best crisps in the world. It was nice, and they've grown on me. And one of the guys I work with, Ryan, he said that they probably are the best cheese and onion crisps in the world because he's a connoisseur of them. So some people agree with you, Robin, but yeah.
I'll give you this. Cheese and onion flavor, maybe those are the best in the category of cheese and onion. Also, who the hell wants cheese and onion? That seems like a very odd mixture of flavors. I'm not sure about that.
Have you not tried a cheese and onion cob?
It's really popular over here, cheese and onion crisps.
There's a lot of things you guys eat that should not be spoken of. So
I wish we'd have got you one of those. I wish we'd have got you one. You call them Barnes, don't you, Mark?
I have no idea what you're talking
Baps.
About.
Baps. Oh, my God.
But is Baps. No, Baps is more Manchester
rolls.
Side. No.
Cheese and onion.
Butties. Sandwich. Butties. Yeah.
No, it's not a sandwich. It's just like a bun. You know, like a hamburger bun.
Yeah.
But it's a hamburger bun. It's like freshly baked bread. And we call them cobs around here. And there's a big argument.
Oh, we call them tea cakes.
Tea cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Tea cakes. Fucking tea cakes. Nothing to do with tea. And they're not even sweet. So
tea cake to me sounds very dainty. Mm.
Yeah. I'm
having a tea cake.
Yeah. Bread cake. Yeah. But yeah, in West Yorkshire, we just call them tea cakes. I don't know why.
No.
Fish and chips and a tea cake, please.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know. I don't know how to follow that up. I suppose we should just move on. Let's talk about video games because I can't talk about tea cakes anymore.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
Okay, so normally Kim Woods is here doing her job, but because she's like babysitting, has a cold, she decided not to come on the show. So that means I'll do her job. It's fine. Here we go. These are your monthly freebies. These are the freebies that you have to pay for to get. So don't forget that. These are your paid for freebies. Games with Gold, November 2019. I'm just waiting, by the way, for look, Xbox, just rip the Band-Aid at this point. Let's kill off Games with Gold, make it Game Pass, do away with multiplayer requirements on Xbox Live Gold, and let's just do it. Let's just convert everything. Just get it done with. That's all I'm saying.
I bet that happens on the next console, you know.
I think so as well. Mm-hmm. It just feels like they're going to that direction. Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter, available the 1st through the 30th of November on Xbox One, of course. The Final Station, which is a side-scrolling kind of a survival game, if I'm not mistaken. You're on a train, if I'm not mistaken. It's kind of like I don't want to say roguelike, but anyway. It's available all the way up from November 16th through December 15th. And then if you want a Star Wars game that's not as good as Jedi Fallen Order, Star Wars Jedi Starfighter is already passed. So you can't get that. So forget about it. Your only choice now for a Star Wars game really is the Fallen Order. Joyride Turbo, that will be available from November 16th through the 30th on Xbox One and 360. Although really it's just Xbox One at this point. Come on. PlayStation Plus for November. And this is... available all month long, Nioh and Outlast 2.
And really then pushing the boat out there, aren't they?
They're good. Good games again. But they're very clever again at PlayStation because they announced Nioh 2 at the same time. Because they did that last time, didn't they, with the last big game. What was it? I can't remember what it was. Last of Us. Last of Us 2. Sure. They gave us Last of Us, didn't they? Was that the last one? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay,
I'm lost.
Detroit was feeling lost.
Yeah. Hey, look, Twitch Prime Games up in the corner. November 2019, Twitch Prime Games. These are correct. Darksiders 2, Definitive Edition. Planet Alpha, Sword Legacy Omen, Turmoil, and Double Cross. I think the highlight there is Darksiders 2, Definitive Edition. Try and say that three times fast. Mm. And those are your free games that you have to pay for the month of November. All right, let's dive into actual games that we have been playing. I was going to say Robin because I see Robin put his games in there, but fuck Robin. We don't want to hear from him. We want to hear from Pete. Pete! Let's talk about Oculus Quest. I want to hear about Oculus Quest first. I want to hear about everything you've been doing on the Quest. Everything, Pete. I know what you've really been doing with it. It's in there. Come on, give us the give us the lowdown.
Has he got private browsing?
Yeah, exactly. You know it.
This is going to be the theme for the evening. I think Greg's just going to like hijack me across the whole show. So I've been watching porn.
Right. Okay. Well, and the way we found this out, by the way.
Yeah.
So you put the Oculus Quest on your wife's shell, and immediately we heard her screaming, "Get me out of here! Get me out of here! I don't want to see this! Get me out of here!" So we know the reality, Pete. We know what really happened.
Okay. Well, let's go into that, right? National Geographic. It's just this small game where it gives you a various walkthrough in certain experiences like kayaking with down this river with ice glaciers on the left and right of you. You have to also catch the pegs on your tent because the pegs have come loose and you have to arrange all the boxes. There's like this storm that blows everything apart and you've just got to fix your campsite basically.
Sounds a little bit like another game we've been railing on that was a delivery simulator.
Okay.
Fix your campsite. How fucking boring does that sound?
No, but it's not. No,
Let me tend the fire.
Greg's been going on. You need to talk about Oculus Quest, right? I talk for 30 seconds and he's there my neck. when you're immersed in that environment, right, it's really, really cool. And it could be the simplest of things, right? And it's really, really enjoyable. So this National Geographic, like I say, you have to fix your
computer. Hold on. I want you to apply that logic to all the chores that you do moving forward. And this is good training for your son, by the way. You know, your little ones just be like, hey, Just think of this as a unique environment. Focus on the task. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, so you have to go and search for a penguin colony, which is quite cool and very noisy when you get to it. And then the last experience, which we played as well, which was really really good. Oh my god! You pair, will you just stop? Right. So the last experience was some. What do they call it? They're like ice picks. That you use to climb like a cliff face, and the whole thing is you start off at the bottom of this cliff and you work your way up this cliff with the ice picks. You have to hook yourself into pre-installed loops that are safety loops that are there, and right. As you're going up, it's not very it doesn't work that well, I suppose, the mechanics of it, but you kind of get the gist of it. But the thing is, I think the thing that really blows you away with it is the environment that you're around. And as you start to work your way up, if you're scared of heights, you are fucked. Because you look down and it feels real. It feels like that you know, you're 30, 40, 50 feet up in the air. And you start working your way onto these ledges and it asks you to turn around and look at certain things that are going on around you. And the higher you get, the more scary it gets. And what Greg was referring to wasn't Shell watching porn. It was she was on this ice pick section of this game, and I think she got to the second, maybe the third ledge, the highest one, and she just got stuck. She froze. She's scared of heights.
Right.
She's not too keen on glass. You know, any glass walkways just to the side of it, and you can see right over, and you can see everything underneath you. And she's not fond of staircases that have got gaps where the step's supposed to fill in, and you can see right through. She just hates all of that. So when she got on this, she just worked her way up this cliff face, and she just, yeah.
Yeah.
For the audio, I have a question. A legitimate question. Okay.
Okay.
So, can you fall to your death in that game?
No.
Then. No. Then. Why be afraid?
No, I've not tried. I'm not. So
that was my thing. Is like, can you fall to your death? And if you can, how did they film that?
Yeah.
Sacrifice some poor bastard. Hey, film this for us.
I don't think you can. No, I think it's very sensible. I don't think it offers any form of risk at all. But the thing is, if you have got that fear of heights and you work your way up that cliff face, by God, you do. Even I turned around on that top ledge and thought, whoa, I'm at a great height. Yeah.
Knowing Shell's fear of heights,
yeah.
And Shell, if listening to this, yeah. Plug your ears real quickly. Knowing her fear of heights, do you think this maybe would have been something you could have told her? And make
no,
it easier?
Absolutely not. No. You know, I'm all there for the scare factor. And you've got to get them to experience like all these different things, and yeah, so no, you know, she'll enjoy it somehow, but she didn't, right? So I filmed her, I sent it out to the rest of the rest.
It was really funny, and it was funny.
She stood there, she completely locked up with these picks in the ice, and I asked her to look down, and she looked down, and she completely freaked. And the
best part is she was locked in with her arms out, like she was holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just take the goggles off, Michelle. Just take them off, Michelle. Just take nope, not happening.
Yeah, she completely lost it. She froze and she was just screaming to get me out of here. I think she was saying, wasn't she?
Right.
Yeah, she proper lost her shit. So I thought it was funny and I filmed it.
Does she know you filmed it?
Yeah. I sent it. Well, no, she was at the time. No, she just thought I was there just watching what she was doing. But afterwards, you know, as soon as she got off it, I just sent it around the family and to you guys as well. So you got to share funny things like that, ain't you? I thought it was hilarious.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the National Geographic game, it's okay. It's got a lot of glitches. You can't. The thing is, I'm stuck in Antarctica, and I feel like the motions you've got to go through, like the kayaking, the cliff face experience of finding the colony and sorting your campsite out, it seems to repeat itself. You can select them individually, but when you can go on this course and you can select them as a bulk activity, and it guides you through the same things again. And it, you can't, I haven't moved on into anywhere else yet, and I don't know how to, so I'm kind of stuck in a way. I don't think the game flows that well. So for anybody that's really considering buying it, expect a lot of jankiness, and there's no clear guidance.
I think this is kind of the problem that VR has, and I'm not trying to knock VR at this point, but what I'm getting at is I think VR, the base sizes aren't huge, so I think the amount of money that's being dedicated to development is not necessarily, I think, enough in most cases to get something that's a proper full on game, and instead what you get are a lot of experiences.
Yeah.
Which feel like games on a lot of levels, but they're usually not necessarily the most complete, for lack of a better way to put it, they don't compare to a Call of Duty or, you know, a full-fledged game for the most part. For the most part, there are a few exceptions.
I don't think it'll ever do that. I think what this is giving you, Greg, is almost like, do you know how great the Wii was for a family experience or for just an experience in general? I think it gives you that. It's like it's just, you know, the next, it's the 21st century. It's almost like that proper step up from Pete, like an Wii experience.
Pete, look, I know that you and Stu love the Quest. Okay, I get that, but we all know what the future is now. Google has told us. We'll talk about that a little later on. Yeah. But I mean, let's face it. We have been told what the future is.
I have to say though, from the games I have seen of a Quest, like that shooting one, what Stu had down at the EGX house, the graphics looked very basic and retro-y. But this National Geographic looks quite good for the Quest.
Yeah,
it's a standalone unit, isn't it? So it's not running off a PC. So graphically, it looks better than most other Quest games I've seen.
Yeah, and the things it gets you to do, it does really test your, I suppose, your scare factor. And Tara said that she didn't like being in the kayak. She says it almost made her feel sick in a way. The way it was moving, and it's pretty good. I think it's good. I've done what everybody does, I suppose, on VR and buy Beat Saber. I've only had a couple of goes on this, but everybody else seems to think it's great. I also downloaded the Imagine Dragons music pack as well. I found myself already buying extras to the game because I know that, you know, it's a great group and it just makes you want to play it a little bit more, I suppose. There's a tutorial game. I can't remember. I think it's like First Steps, I think it's called.
Yeah, and this is what
This is what I got my dad and Shell's mom to play as well, and just to give them that first experience of VR. And there's this table that's put out in front of you, and there's like Rubik's cubes, paper planes, little, like they're like almost little rockets, and you pull the bottom of them, and they wind up and shoot off, and airships, and there's a table tennis bat with a ball, and I put them in this environment where they had to pick these things up and just throw them across the room just to get them, I suppose, started off so they could see what it was like, what it was all about. And they were completely blown away. It just blew their minds. They thought it was just phenomenal. And that wasn't even a game. This was just picking shit up and throwing it around. So they really enjoyed that. And I think just to give, Because my dad's a technophobe. A lot of people in their 70s, 80s are pretty much, they can work a phone just about or a laptop and get on Google. But as far as, you know, VR technology, that's completely out their depth. So to introduce them slightly into that was good to watch, because I've got a Google Chromecast, and we could see what they were experiencing, and you could tell where, you know, when they were thinking, like, oh my life, what's all that? And like, you could just see what was getting them going. So it was good to watch. My mom just wouldn't play it at all. She wouldn't even put the headset on. She was just like, no, forget that. No, completely. No. So the other thing, the last thing I played, sorry for going on the Quest, was it's almost like Google Maps. I don't know what the app's called now, but, It's pretty much just like Google Maps, and you can just jot in a postcode You can just type in a place.
Right.
It's in the Statue of Liberty.
I think it is a Google Maps.
Google Earth VR on Oculus Quest.
Google Earth. Yeah, Google Earth
VR. I'm just looking.
I can't remember seeing that. If it was Google Earth, I don't think so.
Well,
but anyway,
There's Google Earth. It's like a three-dimensional view of, you know, you can pretty much go anywhere, go street level view, and it's like you're walking around the buildings.
Yeah. So I wanted to test how recent this was. So I typed in my own postcode first of all, and there, lo and behold, there's my house and there's my car in front of it. So like, wow. All the images.
Nice. Yeah.
I was like, cool. Yeah. So, then I started to look around. I just see if we could find the Quaker Center that's in Philadelphia. Right. Is it Philadelphia?
They're only your employer.
No, well, they're not. The actual one is America. No. I'm just trying to think if it's Philadelphia. Is it Philadelphia? Is that the one on the East Coast below New York?
Yes. Philadelphia. Well, yes. Not below New York, but.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so there's a place there called Pendle Hill, which is named after the famous place in the UK, Pendle Hill.
Lancashire, which is, yeah, the witches of a Pendle Hill.
Witches? So the Quakers originated from that area, and yeah, that was probably named after that place itself. And I thought I'll type in Pendle Hill Quaker Centre and... lo and behold, it drops you right in its gardens. You can see the house. You can walk all. You can't walk all the way around. You can just look all the way around. You got a 360 view, and I thought that was mint. You can get out into the street as well, and you know, go down. Around the highways and streets. Yeah, you can pretty much look around. But when you type in a certain property, it just puts you in a viewpoint that's where they've took a 360. 360 picture from a focal point, and that was really cool. So I started to look at Everest, the Statue of Liberty, Times Square, and I got bought a holiday to New York as well. So
right.
I just thought I'd look at a couple of things, and Shell was like, "You don't want to get looking at it all. We're going to go and see this stuff." And I was like, "Right, okay." So I had to retract and not look at anymore. We're going to go to New York next year. So, I just had to type it in. Bad things about the Quest, you get very hot and sweaty very quickly. Even just looking at the maps, I found that you sweat a lot around your forehead, and it can almost seem quite heavy as well on the front of your face. I don't know whether you guys experienced that.
I did experience the heaviness.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I got the Quest prior to a lot of other people using it that sweated profusely. So mine was relatively dry, but I could see how it would be an issue. And even when I was playing with it, I was like, okay, I could feel even my own like forehead getting warm. So yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
I don't think the battery life is as good as it should be. I don't know. With it being a standalone console, I suppose it depends how much.
How long does it go?
It felt like it was going for about 3.5 hours. I mean, it could be more, and I just got lost in the game, but it just felt like it was only running for 3.5 hours, and it went. That was the longest stint that I had on it, which kind of annoyed me. But maybe playing that National Geographic, which was a bit heavy on the processor, probably... work the battery a little bit more. I don't know. But I've not
the
really.
It's the porn. The porn.
Oh, is that what it is? I was getting lost then in that.
Yes.
Didn't realize I was there for 3.5 minutes.
Gets you hot and sweaty.
Yeah. Yeah.
that's the alternative version. That's National Pornographic.
Yes.
So, but my friend said to me that. What he does is change the what can I call it, a skin, or the actual thing itself, anyway, like the surrounding. He's changed it for like this matte black military looking type straps and whatever. So he's changed all of that, my friend Clint, and he said that he uses the little power packs that you get
right
that we take out and charge mobile phones with. He's bought some Velcro tape, and he's stuck that onto the back of the charger and on the back of the strap at the back of his head, and it connects it to that, and it just powers it up with this thing, and it just lasts obviously way more.
You say that it actually counterbalances the front of a headset as well, yeah.
Yeah, so he was saying counterbalances it, which I thought was pretty good, and I might actually try that out. Which is it's a real good idea. He's got this custom pack that he takes. He's gone nuts for it. He takes it out everywhere, and he's got this. He's got a proper section where it cut out for his power packs and for his charger and all that stuff. So he's proper gone into it. I've just not had enough time with it, to be fair. But Oculus Quest is good, man.
Oculus Quest.
That's all thanks to Mike and Tara for getting that for my birthday. So yeah, cool.
Yeah, they're okay people, huh? By the way, Pete, I do owe you an apology. Philadelphia, technically, it's southwest of New York City. So
yeah,
but it is technically south of New York State. So there
that's,
you go.
Yeah, I think that's what I meant. Yeah, south from the state. Yeah, so, yeah.
All right, Mark. What have you been playing, Mark?
The little bit I have played this week, I did manage to finish Ghost Recon Breakpoint, the story.
Right.
So all the story missions are all done now. Finish the story completely. There's still a shitload of a map I've not even been to. Your typical Assassin's Creed type thing, Ubisoft game. There's still a crap ton of side missions I can do still. So the game's not really over. And like in Assassin's Creed and Division now, when I finish the game, you get a little cutscene saying, oh yeah, well, you've done this now, you've saved the fucking island or whatever. You get an achievement, and then it just carries on. There's no credits, no it's like, ta-da, well done, you've done it. It just carries on. So, yeah, it's a bit underwhelming when you finish it. But there's still lots to do, so, and I still love it. Still love the sort of like the gunplay in it and everything. So I'll probably carry on playing it for a bit longer.
I do think that is the problem it ran into, and that is that Wildlands had very much the same kind of situation, and Wildlands has so much still that they were updating and they were putting into it, along with the Division, and the Division 2. I think these sequel games to those original games with services.
Yeah.
My personal feeling is I think for a company to be successful with that type of model, they can't just launch a full new version. I think they just need to keep iterating on the existing version. I mean, that's what World of Warcraft does. If you think about it, World of Warcraft has never really said, oh, the main game's done, here's World of Warcraft 2. You know, they just keep iterating on it, although maybe they have, I don't know. I don't really know that much about World of Warcraft, other than that they just keep giving expansions that add more to the existing world. And when they do make big sweeping changes, it's for everyone. So even if you had the original base game, you're kind of, you know, you're brought along. And I think that's where Ubisoft made a bad turn. They should have, for the Division and the Division 2, just said, hey, the Division 1, we're all new expansion, new world, you know, and we're updating the original with some gateways to get into this new world, and just made it an add-on.
So that's what it is, isn't it? Well, a bit like Wildlands. Wildlands for me seemed to drag on a lot, because I even went to the length of putting a poll up to say, should they be this long? Because I think Wildlands took me 60 hours to complete. Now this, Ubisoft are good at sending emails and stats and stuff. And I got an email after I finished it, and it told me it took me 67.8 hours to complete the main story. I killed so many thousand enemies and so many headshots, and it was really interesting email. But it's nearly 68 hours to complete this. It didn't seem that long compared to Wildlands, so it just shows how much more I've enjoyed this game than Wildlands. Because Wildlands, I got bored around the 30-hour mark. I got pretty bored, and I just wanted to get it over and done with. With this, I didn't really want it to be over because I love it that much. And in a way, it isn't over because there's still loads to do. But once your main story's over, it's hard to sort of like have that interest to go back, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think also, you know, there were no civilians that you could possibly do harm to, so you know.
Oh, no, yeah, I failed missions for killing civilians.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
But yeah, right, really well, good, really good. I've had my money's worth out of it anyway, 70 hours of it, so.
Yes.
So, yeah, and there's still more to do if I want to do that. The only other game I've played is a bit of Call of Duty Modern Warfare multiplayer after last week's podcast. We had some sessions, didn't we? I think Game Over UK was there and Peds. Chinny joined us for a bit, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's talk about this with Pete now. So, Pete, I know you also played. You finished the single player.
I've not finished it, no.
Spoilers.
That's all right. That's all right. I don't know exactly where I'm at, to be honest. Because do you know what I found with the game when you play the campaign? It's very, it just flows, doesn't it? The campaign. Yeah.
It's a really good campaign.
Yeah, you can't really. I suppose when you think back and look at it, you can see, okay, right, I can see where the missions are ending and the next one started. But as you're playing it, you get lost in this story and
it's a good story.
I just thought, how long is this mission going on for? And then when I come out of it, I was like on mission 8 or 9, I think it was. And I'm like, I finished the house mission.
Oh, yeah, open house. Okay. Yeah, I liked that one, yeah.
And that's wicked, isn't it? Yep. You get to the top and it's a bit nerve-wracking.
It's quite tense, isn't it? Yeah.
I started this off on hardened and very quickly it down. Years ago, I would have played this on veteran. I would have really gone for it and suffered the pain. But, I don't know whether it's just because I'm out of practice with these shoot 'em ups and I don't play games as much. But, by God, this game is pretty tough, fast. I played it. When I started to install the game, I played a little bit of multiplayer where it was the 2-on-2. I think you were talking about it last week, Greg, in the tin can yards.
Yep.
And that was pretty intense. But the single player campaign, I thought it was great. The story's really good. The acting's good. The whole dialogue, you know, I think it's just really smooth as well. The story, you can't tell where you're at in the game. I still don't really know how many missions there are now. I've just played it for what it is. Normally I'll play multiplayer, but I just thought I'll just drop straight into the campaign this time and see what surprises there are. You know, when you go to London, be a spoiler, but yeah, when you go to London and that opening scene with the van,
I streamed that when I was doing my Extra Life.
Okay.
And I think Phil watched that and he was just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And I think also for you guys in particular, given the location of that area, it feels kind of personal because, I mean, you recognize a lot of that and you're like, holy shit, that's home turf.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you guys get a lot of. It, you know, usually video games often, you know, are set in the U.S. for whatever dumb reason.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of stuff set in London or in England at all up until recent. You know, we had Forza just recently and now this. So I love the campaign.
I think it's my favorite one out of all of them. It would have taken a lot to beat COD for the original Modern Warfare, but I think this just edges it.
Yeah.
And whether it's the modern technology with the facial recognition and animations and stuff, which is absolutely top notch.
The other thing that was, sorry, Greg, the other mission that was tense was the two, is it the two choppers that you had to blow up? Two choppers on rooftops?
Oh, yeah. You have to plant the C4.
Life. You know, the bodyguards that was all around those choppers, and that was tense, and you had to find the right route and be as stealth as I hate being stealth. I like just going in gun blazing.
Because at first you don't even have a gun. Do you have to pick up a bloody brick? Don't you?
Yeah. And you have to. Yeah, that's it. Walk around and blend in with the crowd. And my life, it's real tense. The game delivers so far. Anyway, you guys have played it to the end, haven't you? So I don't know. It seems very consistent in its intensity, and I just love the story. I think it's ace.
Yeah, I didn't find so previous Call of Duty single player games. They always kind of feel like it is just this constant adrenaline rush. Like you never get a chance to catch your breath. Whereas in this game, I feel like the pacing is just it's almost perfect.
Yeah.
They have a lot of good high action. But then they lull it back down, and whether it be through cutscenes or just through certain elements, yeah, I heard that too, by the way. Yeah. It just brings you in nicely and then re-ramps you back up into the next set. So just long enough for you to kind of catch your breath, you know, to dial it back down a little bit and not be so, like, just, you know, gripping the controller. Yeah. I am really impressed by this game. I think this is absolutely the best Call of Duty, I would say, single-player game ever. I really do hold it in that high regard. I was surprised. I really thought, given this was technically a prequel to the original Modern Warfare, that I was going to be like, okay, this is going to feel like a rehash. And I was actually expecting it to be a bit of a reboot as opposed to...
Well, it is a reboot, isn't it?
It is and it isn't, if you think about it.
I listened to the Xbox Unlocked podcast, and they had the actor on who played Alex, and they were calling it a reboot.
Well, it is a reboot, but it also...
but it's telling you how Task Force 141 was formed as well.
It is a prequel. So
it's a prequel to the reboot, yeah.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about it is also, you know, again, I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm just going to say there is something that happens that absolutely is like, oh, no, this is just, you know, now I could go right into the original Call of Duty Modern Warfare,
and
it would lead right into it. Fantastic. The multiplayer has been really solid. Not great. Like, you know, I find Ground War to me to be a poor man's Battlefield. I think they wanted to make a Battlefield mode. And I don't think Ground War really pulls that off that well. I miss having classes. I miss having medics. And so I find that the Ground War just feels a bit chaotic and doesn't feel like there's as much strategy to it as, say, a Battlefield game would feel. But I do love, you know, Kill Confirm.
Yeah.
Gunfight, I think, is absolutely one of the best modes they could have possibly made and did make, you know, that's new. I'm not crazy about Cyber Attack. I know Sarah was trying to get us on board with that. I have not gotten on with that yet. No. The traditional domination and headquarters, those all still sit well with me. And I think those are, for Call of Duty, to me, those are the best feeling games because those games are not just about killing, with the exception of Gunfight. You know, they're not just all about, you know, killing. They're about strategizing, working as a team, objectives. Yeah, I like that. So... also, I want to try the co-op, and I know the co-op's been slammed a little bit for having some weird spawn issues for enemy AI, but the single-player story elements supposedly carry on into the co-op section.
Right, okay, I have not
and
tried
so,
it yet.
Yeah, so that's something I have yet to try, but I'm not actually a big fan of that, to be honest. I don't like playing any game that has story elements and cutscenes that I am supposed to play with other human players, because 9 times out of 10, the other people you're with, half the time they're not paying attention to those cutscenes, half the time they're talking over it. And so to me, it just kind of ruins that experience. I'd rather just be able to watch those cutscenes and soak them in.
Is the co-op then like the Spec Ops stuff in, were it Modern Warfare 2?
I believe so.
Yeah, because they were quite good at. I played quite a few of them back in the 360 days.
Mike's played him as well, and he wasn't that keen, Greg. So,
we'll see. I mean, I'll try him out for sure. And interestingly enough, all of the achievements seem to be tied to the campaign modes, as opposed to the multiplayer, which is
most cops do that. Yeah.
One thing I don't like about this game, and it's all of the radio communication. It's a bit too much for me. Some of it is really distorted and I can't hear it that well. And some of the commands, I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, Charlie, over. And
Roger, Charlie, doctor.
It's just a bit too much. I felt like I could do with just muting that stuff out, because it's not really, it's just not, some of it's not relevant to the game. Some of it's just like combat chat and by NPCs, and it's just, I don't know, it got on my nerves a little bit, and the, you know, when you're flying, like, it's almost like that AC-130, the gunner in the air, and you're shooting down on that warehouse. And even then, you know, I was just getting a bit annoyed with it all. I was just like, I just want to blow stuff up.
Me, I was listening to those cues because they actually were spot on, and they were calling out when enemies were emerging.
Yeah.
So you would just look for it, and I was like, all right.
When you're playing it on hardened or you know, a difficult setting, it's so intense anyway, the game. You don't even get time to see the enemies, like, you know, coming up. I just found it really, really distracting. And maybe I should just revisit it again. I don't know. What difficulty were you playing on?
I just played it on normal.
I played it on normal,
yeah.
It was hard enough for me. Talking about, like, the audio and that, even in multiplayer, a lot of people are complaining that the characters, when you sneak it up on someone, they'll say, enemy spotted. But then the enemy can hear that, and then they know that there's someone behind them, and they turn around and shoot them. So a lot of people are complaining about that in the multiplayer, the audio cues. So,
Pity you can't get a skin with, like a strap around your, like, a gimp mask or something, so the car
I do have a silent running kind of perk.
Yeah, I
allows
use that.
Me to run quickly and silently.
Okay. Oh, that's another thing that I've not really, because I've not played the multiplayer that much. Are the perks
Very similar to Modern Warfare?
Yeah,
the original COD 4, which I love. To me, that was the best version of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And this one, it matches it absolutely.
Are any perks that stand out?
No, I mean, they're very much the similar to, you know, hardline.
So you need one less kill for your kill streaks, because when you're shit like me, you need that shit.
I have one that...
grenade.
Yeah, there's extra grenade. There's one for wounding where it will make them not
that's part
heal
of a weapon.
Quite as fast.
That's a weapon perk.
Yeah, that's a weapon perk. But yeah, it doesn't make them heal quite as fast.
Okay.
So you know, basically you damage them, maybe somebody else comes up, they can kill them easier, that kind of thing. But I like the system. At first I found the mod system a bit confusing, but I think it's just because I hadn't been playing Call of Duty for a while. Right. But now that I'm into it, and the gunsmith editing, all of that feels very, very straightforward.
Okay. Do you remember in Modern Warfare 2, the nuke thing when you got 20 kills or 25 kills? Is there anything like that?
Not to my knowledge.
No.
I don't believe there's any nuke perk.
No.
Yeah. They do have, like, a gunship kind of perk where it'll, you know, VTOL jet as well, where they just, like, hover around shooting people.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty strong, they?
Yeah. So, but I don't think they have anything, not like the nuke one, where it's just like you can just destroy everybody.
Yeah,
you
get people. Yeah. That was kind of annoying sometimes.
Oh, it was annoying every time.
Yeah.
It was just like, I mean, because it took the fun out of that moment. Unless you're, of course, the person that got it, I suppose. But yeah, no, Call of Duty, I really, you know, and I joked around a little bit about this, saying, oh, it could be on my game of the year, but I legitimately think this could be in my top five this year. It's been that good.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm playing a Call of Duty again. I'm glad, really, because it's made me appreciate the original games, Call of Duty 4 and Modern Warfare 2. And even my first ever Call of Duty I played was COD 2 when the 360 launched. I loved that game. I played the campaign on Veteran on that. And I played a lot of Call of Duty 3 with the other 35s community. So, yeah, it brought a lot of that back. Not that nostalgia.
It has. It has brought that nostalgia back for sure. It makes me sad.
Sorry.
So go ahead. Go ahead, Pete. Go ahead.
The other thing that's nice as well is that I haven't actually played with some of the old crew yet, but Mike was saying today that he's ended up playing with we was part of this this clan we called ourselves the Brat Pack, and so there was Damo, Roisky, Sean Pendlebury, Pigeon, there's a whole bunch of us, and we used to play like mad, you know. We just loved it. Paul Kerr as well. I can't remember what his game is. Oh, Sticky Gecko. And we just played all of these, you know, matches constantly for hours and hours and hours, and it's right. Bringing the old crew back to start playing it again. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to the multiplayer. I just want to get the single player out of the way, but it's nice that it's done that as well. It's brought that connecting some of the you know, the old crew back up together. And I'm talking like, I don't know.
Well, and I want to say this, because, you know, we've talked about it before, but it's not only bringing the old crew back, because I've been playing with guys I haven't played with in a long time.
Okay.
And here's the crazy thing. So back when I first played Call of Duty,
yeah.
There was a guy named Frost. He had his son, who was, I think, 5 at the time, was playing with us.
Now you all play with him.
Yeah, now we play with him. He's just going into college.
Wow.
So there you go. But yeah, so we're having kind of that revitalization of the old communities, but also crossplay. And I cannot understate this enough. It works. And yeah. And the fact that we have been able to get PlayStation 4 gamers and Xbox gamers, and I don't know, I think we did it with a PC gamer. I think it was John Mouse was playing on PC. We also had him on PS4. Audio.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. We had somebody, I think, on PC, but audio, chat, across platforms.
Is it good?
It's not good.
No, it's
serviceable.
Basic, but it works.
Right.
Yeah.
But it works. And that's the key thing is here. It works.
Yeah.
So literally for the first time ever, you know, we had Sarah and John on PlayStations, myself, Mark on Xbox, and we're chatting and we're talking and we're playing in the same game. And it feels like, you know, not to over-dramatize it, but I mean the walls, right? You know, the walls separating our nations coming down, and this weird just suddenly, like, it's just opening things up. It's like, holy crap. We don't have to be holden to hardware to play games together. And I think that's the way moving forward. It should always be.
And this is – I found this with Apex Legends as well. You're connecting onto – you're creating an account that's – is it the producer, the video game producer that you're creating an account?
Yeah. So we make an Activision account.
Yeah, and I think this is the way that the bridges are being made, aren't they, by creating these accounts. And it's a shame PUBG, in a way, you know, you couldn't create a blue hole account and – you could have that cross-play and the chat between all of the PC and
well,
PS4.
PUBG, you know. I think PUBG is cross-play.
Yeah, it is, but you can't.
They don't have
you can't
the chat.
Chat, and you can't.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry.
So, whereas I think the thing that's really making the bridges is creating these separate accounts. Yeah, it's just a shame that. I mean, if they create that, I think that'd be good. People are still playing PUBG, aren't they? I think that's the secret to all of this, and it's good. Yeah, you're right, Greg. It's ace to see this.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Pete? Anything else, Mark?
No. I've chatted it.
Okay. Well, I'll finish up. Outer Worlds, started playing more of that the past couple of days. Man, I really I was enjoying the game when it started, and I haven't gone terribly far into the game. I'll freely admit I'm still on the first world, and I kept getting start and stopped, and of course Call of Duty came in and really messed up everything, so I started playing that a ton. But I was getting some of the humor and the great dialogue, but I hadn't really delved into the characters that you get that you start recruiting, and that just happened over the past like night and a half for me. And I have to say, if there is ever a game that feels more like Firefly, there's not. Outer Worlds feels like I'm playing a game in Firefly. And I don't know if you're familiar with the sci-fi series called Firefly.
Yep, loved it.
This is it was a TV show. It was Nathan Fillion played the lead character. It was about a band of kind of pirates, if you will. They were kind of guns for hire. They did a lot of trading and hauling of goods, that kind of thing, back and forth through space. And they had this ship that was kind of kind of built with duct tape and bolts, and they just got by the seat of their pants. And the characters in that, they were all different backgrounds and kind of just this, you know, brought together by the common bond of the captain. That's what this game is so far. And the gal Pavarti that you was one of the very first characters you recruit in the game. I hadn't really spent time talking to her up until the latter part of where I'm at right now. And as I'm listening to her talking, I'm like, oh my God, she is, there's a, this woman engineer that it plays the role in the show Firefly.
Jewel.
She
Jewel
sounds, Stewart. Yeah, she sounds 100% like her.
Yeah.
And just everything she talks about and does, I'm like, it's her. This is Firefly. So that makes me extremely happy because I love the show Firefly. If you've never seen it, Pete, I highly recommend checking it out.
Is it a recent thing?
It's probably about 4 or 5 years old now.
Oh, that's not too bad then, yeah. Well, you get that on it. Amazon Prime, probably Netflix.
Netflix maybe, yeah. Netflix probably. It's well worth the watch.
They did a movie as well. There's a movie called Serenity.
Yeah, Serenity is kind of the culmination because they ended the show. Mm. Serenity finishes out the TV series.
Yeah.
So watch this. Binge watch.
I've got Serenity on HD DVD. When we had the HD DVD for the 360.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've got that on HD DVD.
Such HD. A good
movie. HD DVD. Yeah.
Ultra HD DVD. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
It was good format as well. Just Blu-ray killed it.
Yeah. Anyway, so Outer Worlds been fantastic. Elite 2 controller. Real quick, I bought my Elite 2. I know there's been a lot of issues, so this is kind of part of the news as well, but we kind of talk about it now. Apparently, a lot of people are reporting some issues with the Elite 2. I got to say, I haven't had any problems. I know some people were saying they were having some problems with button responsiveness. I think there were some connectivity issues going on as well.
Yeah, drop-in connection. I had that with the original one.
Yeah, now I have only connected mine to the Xbox One X. I've not tried connecting it to a PC, and I think the problem has been connecting to a PC with the Bluetooth.
Yeah,
but I don't know for sure. All I know is I bought my Elite 2. It came to me the day it shipped, November 4th. I fully charged it up. I haven't charged it once since I've gotten it.
That's good.
I noticed you had problems with dribbling when you sent us the unpacking video.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's that too.
Oh, that excitement. It does look good, though. It's very nice.
It does look good. It feels more clicky than the previous version.
Yeah.
And it is a slightly smaller form factor when you compare them up next to one another. It's the same weight, but the way they designed the handles, it's slightly it's not as wide a controller, if that makes sense.
With it having an internal battery, they can balance it better, can't they?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
The internal battery is interesting.
Yeah, I just wish the PlayStation internal battery lasted that long because my controllers just they don't even last 6 hours now.
Yeah. It has so far met all my expectations and a little bit more. So I've been quite pleased with it. I would recommend the Elite 2. But obviously, if you're at this point in time and you can wait a little bit, I would say wait to hear about fixes coming out, rolling out to ensure that any future Elite 2s that are out there that, they don't experience any issue. Because the last thing you want for $180, you don't want something that comes to you. You
cheap.
Have to return and deal with.
If you want a cheaper alternative, the Razer Wolverine Tournament Edition, that's really good. It's got paddles on the back and the top. The only downside is it's wired. Apart from that, I've not had any problems. I've had it about a year now. So I got that to replace my Elite when they didn't announce Elite 2 last year. So I bought the Razer Wolverine.
Yeah, I stuck it out with my drifting stick on my Elite 1. My right thumb stick was drifting a bit.
Yeah.
But I got past that. And hey. Anyway, all right, that's me. That's done. Mark.
Yep.
I know you were busy. You probably didn't have time to do a news quiz.
I have.
An audio quiz.
I've done one. Yep.
All right. Let's lay it on us.
Let's get ready to rumble!
What's that noise?
And the theme this week is Call of Duty.
Hey. Right.
Yeah. Nice. See how I tied that in there?
That one's dropping out.
Yeah. Pete, by the way, Pete, this is grudge match for you and I. and I just realized.
Well, Oh, yeah.
So
I need to send Mark private chats on Skype because I don't have my phone in front of me.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this might be awkward. Right, okay. So, yeah, What's That Noise audio quiz. Each week you hear three audio clips and you have to guess what game they are from. You've got 30 seconds to send me a message on WhatsApp or, in Greg's case, Skype. With the answer without any help, and you get 2 points if you can't guess it straight off, and you need multiple choice options, then you get 1 point if you get it correct. So like I say, all these clips are from Call of Duty, and you have to tell me what game they're from. So you ready for the first clip?
Did you get my chat real quickly, Mark? I sent you on Skype.
This is going to cock my cameras up for a bit, but here we go.
You're welcome. Dick pics.
Yeah, I am sending you dick pics.
Yeah,
exactly.
Testing. Yeah, we've got that.
All right.
Right, okay, so here we go with the first sound clip.
Round one.
The healthy human mind doesn't wake up in the morning thinking this is its last day on Earth. But I think that's a luxury, not a curse. To know you're close to the end is a kind of freedom. Good time to take inventory. Outgunned, outnumbered, out of our minds on a suicide mission. But the sand and rocks here, stained with thousands of years of warfare, they will remember us for this. Because out of all our vast array of nightmares, this is the one we choose for ourselves. We go forward like a breath exhaled from the earth, with vigor in our hearts and one goal in sight. We will kill him.
A bit long, but there you go. So, which Call of Duty is that from? I've narrowed it down to Call of Duty games for you.
I appreciate that. There's only like 10,000.
Yeah. So, Greg thinks it's Call of Duty penis.
Yeah, no, that's not my... I guess I suppose we get a secret guess.
All right, I've got an answer from Pete.
You have an answer from me. Not necessarily spelled properly. You're welcome.
I don't even know what that is.
Is that?
No, Christ, here.
How do you get the chat up? I've got the,
This is the moment where the podcast goes down.
Right. Do you need me to hold
on? Is wrong.
I found it. Open conversation. Right, hang on.
Yeah.
Completely.
Oh, no, that's a group one. It just says... Well, you've put Infinite.
Yes.
Because, Pete, what's Infinite? Infinite Warfare?
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So, Greg is incorrect.
I thought they all said Warfare at some point or another, so...
But, Pete, don't reveal what you put, but Pete is correct. So, Pete gets 2 points.
So,
Greg, you've now got multiple choice.
Right.
Is it Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare? Is it Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2? Is it Call of Duty Black Ops, or is it Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3? So
Black Ops.
Incorrect. It is Modern Warfare 2. Well done, Pete.
It was all about killing that one individual. I'm trying to think of his name.
Yeah.
It was about killing one individual.
Yeah.
I thought that was also that was Black Ops. It was about killing the one guy.
Yeah, Black Ops was about the numbers as well, wasn't it?
Of course. Yeah. Let's be honest. Every fucking Call of Duty is about killing the one guy. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Right, are you ready for the second one?
Yes, now I'm getting my Call of Duty games list.
no Googling, no lists.
Yeah.
Round two.
I need a list.
No. I can't really. No.
Oh, no! So! No! So, you have to go now! Get off me! I'm sorry.
Which Call of Duty is that one from?
Is that Roy? I know... Oh, God.
I know which one you mean, Pete.
Yeah, okay, all right. I'm probably wrong.
Right, okay, so I've got an answer from Greg and Pete. Right, and you are both incorrect. I'll give you the options. Right, A, Call of Duty Ghosts.
Did we both say the same thing?
It's probably, they're all Call of Duty 2.
Call of Duty Ghosts Is it Modern Warfare 2? Is it Black Ops? Or is it Modern Warfare 3?
Mm. Okay.
Right, I've got an answer from Greggles. Right, so Pete's gone for Black Ops and Greg's gone for Ghosts. You're both incorrect. It is Modern Warfare 3. Soap McTavish, when he dies.
Yeah.
I thought that was a dead giveaway where he's like, Soap, no!
No, I knew Soap was in it. I couldn't remember what fucking game Soap was in.
Soap and Price are only in the Modern Warfare games.
Oh, Sam, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, nil point for you two on that one. Right, you should get this one. This one's quite easy, so here we go. Last one.
Final round.
You say that.
It does.
The Modak in the car is General Heinrich Hansel, architect of Stalingrad's misery. He is responsible for the cold-blooded murder of men, women, and children. Not just here, but throughout the motherland. For 3 days, I have hunted him. For 3 days, luck alone has saved his wretched life. Sniping your enemy is like hunting any other animal. Fire at the wrong moment and your chance will be forever lost. Patience. If we reveal our position to Hamsel's men, this fountain will be our grave.
So what Call of Duty is that from?
I think I'm totally wrong on that one.
Have you put your answer, Greg? Because
yes.
Under your name, that's right, okay. So you are both incorrect. I'll give you the options. Is it A, Call of Duty 2? Is it B, Black Ops 2? Is it C, Ghosts? Or is it D, World at War?
Damn it.
I've got an answer from Pete. And I've got an answer from Greg. And Greg has pulled it back by 1 point. It is World at War. It wasn't Ghost. It was the where you sat with a Russian sniper in the fountain. Yeah. I threw COD 2 in there because we had some Russians in it at one time as well as the Nazis, I think. So I tried to throw a thing in. But yeah, World at War.
And I didn't recognise it. I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember the original sniper mission in the original Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare where you're in the bush.
Yeah.
That was the original like aha moment of that game.
Yeah.
So I thought you were like, "Oh, you'll get this one."
Yeah. No, yeah. Is that the one with the ghillie suit? That's with the Pripyat,
I think.
Yeah, with the Chernobyl fallout area. That was just such a classic level. So Greg gets 1 point. So Pete has two in that round in that game and Greg gets one. I'll update the score. So well done, guys.
I've done that. I've updated it.
Have you done it? Have you done Greg's as well?
A bastard.
Yes, of course. I've had every enjoyment in doing it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Pulled ahead by 1 point, you jerk.
It's all about that. Extra.
Yeah. I was racking my brains this morning, sat in the hospital, thinking, if I did an audio quiz, if I get time, what can I do? I know. We're all into Call of Duty at the moment.
All right. So let's dive into the news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So on the news front, look, we're going to cover Google Stadia.
Cover or slate or both.
I wanted to cover this, one, because I wanted to make Robin feel extremely bad about his purchase choice. but most importantly, because it's a mess. It is a hot mess.
It's the future of gaming, apparently, according to their trailer.
I know. So Google Stadia, if we think back just about a year ago, maybe a little less, they made the announcement of Google Stadia. They talked about everything it was going to be doing. Gaming when and where you wanted. Play across multiple devices, including laptops, desktops, select
no boxes,
phones,
no
tablets.
Downloads. Yep.
Yep.
March this year was the official trailer, and that's where it's saying 4K, 60 frames per second, no limits, no boxes, any device,
no updates, no downloads, no waiting, just jump right in, instantaneous gaming.
Yeah, is that still the case, Greg?
Well, we're getting there. It also is going to launch with a slew of games. I'm going to go through the list of all of these games right now. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Baldur's Gate 3, Borderlands 3, Darksiders Genesis, Destiny 2, Doom 2016, Doom Eternal, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Farming Simulator 19, Final Fantasy 15, Football Manager, Get Packed, Grid, Guilt, Just Dance, Metro Exodus, Mortal Kombat 11, NBA 2K, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, Rage 2, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Samurai Showdown, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Elder Scrolls Online, The Crew 2, Thumper, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Tom Clancy, Ghost Recon, Breakpoint, Tom Clancy, The Division 2, Trials Rising, Wolfenstein Youngblood, a total of 31 games. 31 games. There you go. 31 games at launch. Now, over the past week, Google conducted a series of Ask Me Anythings in Reddit. They've been answering questions. There's also been some updates. So now one of the original things that was also part of this was that Google talked about game sharing. They talked about this Buddy Pass. So one thing that is not going to be available at launch is the Buddy Pass. That is going to get added in at a later point in time. They also said that family sharing is not something that's going to be available right now, that that will be something added in the future. So your Google account will, it's one user per Stadia account, and it's tied to your Google ID. They do have a guest account for split screen experiences, but there is no game sharing as of this week. Now that's not the end of the world. And a lot of this, quite honestly, a lot of this, not the end of the world. At launch, Stadia users can play Stadia exclusively on Pixel 3 and 3A devices. So the only mobile phones it will play on are the Pixel 3 and Pixel 3A.
But the trailer says not, any device, no box.
No. you will be able to create an account and make a subscription and game purchases from any Android M Plus or iOS 11 Plus device that has access to the Stadia app. My understanding, though, is the Stadia app is not out on iOS devices yet. I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me, but there's some issues here. Also,
tell you.
The fact is that the issue is Stadia doesn't have a proper UI and storefront, so you actually have to use your mobile device to make game purchases and manage your subscription. You cannot do it from within Stadia, the system. There you go, the Google Stadia. Okay, Mark's ready to get Google Stadia. There you go.
No.
Also, the Stadia Founders Edition will launch, you know, obviously at $130. Comes with a Chromecast Ultra, a Stadia controller, and a copy of Destiny 2, along with the Shadowkeep expansion. A 3-month subscription with a 3-month Buddy Pass. Now we have
for the
Buddy
Pass
coming later. Right, not available at launch. And all those with the and also everybody who bought the Founders Edition apparently have been getting notifications. At least some of them have been getting notifications. They won't be getting the Founders Edition at launch. That it. Some are saying it's going to be upwards of December 19th before they actually get their Founders Edition shipped to them. So those are some issues. Now, also, Google Stadia's controller will require a wired connection with phones and PC at launch. It will only be wireless if it's working with the Chromecast Ultra.
What?
So
I thought the controller linked directly to the internet and not your device. That's what we advertise it as. Reduce latency by connecting directly to our servers.
Something as well with Chromecast Ultra. I've got that connected through into my Oculus Quest, and it keeps on dropping out. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's some syncing issue with the Wi-Fi connection. And my Wi-Fi connection's really good. It works on all of the rest of my devices. But if the Oculus Quest with the Chromecast Ultra communication is anything like the Stadia, it's just going to bottom out. It's going to be dreadful. I don't know what to think about that. That's the thing that makes me nervous.
Well, there's a bit more. Now, of course, remember that big long list of games I just read not too long ago?
I'll put a bit of statistics in the end as well. Sorry, Greg.
Yes, I did. I did see that. Thank you. Thank you for that. That helps. So 31 games at launch. We have now been told they will only have 12 games available at launch. Those games are Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Destiny 2, the Collector's Edition. And that's included with the Stadia Pro subscription. Guilt, Just Dance 2020, Kine, Mortal Kombat 11, Red Dead Redemption 2, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Samurai Showdown, Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Thumper, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, and that's it. 12 games at launch. Three of those 12 games are Tomb Raider games.
So, question. Can you still do this? So, forget the mobile devices. The main focus for a lot of people would be old PCs. Will this work on your PC from launch?
I think so.
Surely.
It's got to do, hasn't it?
I believe so, but it will need to be wired, working through the Chrome browser. But it'll have to be a wired connection with your controller. That's my understanding. So
Robin's 12... going to be fucked, isn't he?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Now, the other aspect to this is 4K is not guaranteed at, it's not a guaranteed service with the Founders Edition. Pro service gives you the ability to stream at 4K 60, but that is entirely dependent upon your connection. So if your connection doesn't have the proper speeds, you will not get 4K service. You will get 1080p. So there's that. Now, they have also said that coming by the end of 2019, they will have Attack on Titan 2 Final Battle, Borderlands 3, Darksiders Genesis, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Farming Simulator 19, Final Fantasy 15, Football Manager 2020, Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Grid, Metro Exodus, NBA 2K20, Rage 2, Trials Rising, Wolfenstein Youngblood. All those games total up to 14. So between those games and the initial 12, you have 26 games, which is close to the 31 they initially told us we'd all be getting. But I'd also like to point out, does anything on that list excite anybody? And I think this is what everybody's kind of struggling with, especially now that these cracks are happening within Google Stadia.
I still don't understand what the subscription's for, because you've got to buy the games. So what do you get for your subscription?
Right. Well, the subscription, the pro subscription, again, is one allows you, Mark, to get your gamer tag, secure your gamer tag with your pro subscription. It also gives you the ability to have 4K. Not guaranteed, but it gives you the ability to have 4K. The basic subscription that's coming in 2020 will only go up to 1080p. So the pro subscription allows you to stream in 4K if you have the right kind of connections, and the right kind of internet speed. So their subscription is highly dependent upon your ISP, to be perfectly frank. They're tied together. So the other thing you get with the pro subscription is you get the controller, their proprietary controller, and a Chromecast Ultra. That's what you get in that package, basically, as well as the free to play Destiny 2. But you do get the expansion with it, Shadowkeep. So, it's the complete edition as opposed to the free one that's available now that just has everything but Shadowkeep. So, I don't know who this is for, because if I think about it. Originally, I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of geared. They're going after the hardcore gamers. But then I look at this list of games, and I'm like,
I think this is only aimed at people with an older PC who can't run the games. If you've got a decent PC or any games consoles, why would you need this?
Exactly. And you look at this list of games, right, and I don't know whether it's a strategic thing that Microsoft did with the Ultimate Game Pass. And, that deal that we've talked about so many times in converting all of our Xbox Live and Game Pass into months and months of subscription without even having to renew this service for probably up to two or three. Is it 3 years? Was it the maximum?
Yeah, up to 3 years.
But I look at this list now. You look at Final Fantasy, even the EXO announcement of dropping all the Final Fantasies available to Xbox Game Pass users.
It's foreshadowing.
Well, yeah. You just look at all of this list and you just think, okay, well, Trolls Rising, I've got that on Game Pass if I wanted to play that. If Farming Simulator, even if you wanted to even play that shit game. But
yeah. And you'd be playing them lag-free 4K, whatever frames per second the game has, because you've got your console direct.
Plus, you're not even paying a penny for them for the next 24 to 36 months.
No.
You're wasting all of this money just to play the same games that we've already playing on the, our existing consoles. It's just
not to pile on, but again, don't forget, all of these launch games are not part of the subscription.
No,
so you have to buy all of these games. You have to buy these separately. Google has said you will get free games within the Pro subscription. They have not said how often or what those will be, other than Destiny 2. That's the only included game right now. But the funny thing is, it's free to play now. You know, Bungie made Destiny 2 free to play, so it kind of, I mean, unless you're really hung up on that added content, I don't know where, you know, again, where the offer is. It just mystifies me. Now, Pete, you hinted at XO19. So Microsoft this month, I think pretty much just, I mean, this is the bitch slap to Stadia. So if you think about it, Google Stadia, they last year, and I took part in the beta, they had Assassin's Creed Odyssey. They beta tested it out there. It worked. People were kind of excited about it at the time. That's the only game they have ever beta tested. They beta tested it for that window, and then they took it off, and Ubisoft gave everybody free copies. But the free copy you had to install on your PC, by the way. So it wasn't streaming anymore. It was local to the hardware. So that's the only game we've ever seen Google Stadia running, outside of more recently Gamescom, some hands-on stuff they've done where they've had people in kind of controlled environments playing Stadia with some different games like it's totally escaping me. It's the big shooter, Doom. So Microsoft launched out their Project X Cloud a few months back. They rolled it out to Android devices, which I thought is kind of funny because Google, Android devices. And they immediately had four games in their beta test. Now, XO19 took place this past week. If you're not familiar with XO19, it's basically is a Microsoft PSX style event where they get a bunch of people out to an event, site. They have kind of a press event talking about what's coming. They also are I think it goes on for 2 to 3 days where they just have tons and tons of machines set up. People can go out there and play. It's kind of like EGX, but it's specifically for Xbox. So within the Xbox Live kind of announcements or the inside Xbox they did, they announced some big changes for Project xCloud coming. At the show, they announced they will be adding 50 games to the service from 25 partners that included games like Madden 20, Devil May Cry 5, Tekken 7. So these are all games that are part of the streaming beta test. So 50 games, and they are live already. I've already double-checked this. So you can play these games some are live now, I should say. Some are being added December 3rd, but basically 50 games on the streaming service, on top of which they announced a few weeks back they started the console streaming, which opens up your entire library from your console that you can stream into xCloud. They also made the announcement that Windows 10 PCs will be getting xCloud streaming, and that will be happening in 2020. And this is all still under the guise of beta testing.
Yeah.
So even before Stadia is out with their proper service, there's another service beta testing more games than they have at launch. It is just amazing to me. Let's see. Now, they did say 50 new games are coming also to Xbox Game Pass. I continue to say Game Pass is truly the Netflix of video games. It is, I think, setting a bar for what streaming services should be or gaming services should be moving forward.
Anyone new to the Xbox console economy, that is your first port of call, is Game Pass. Once you buy Game Pass for... they're still doing the pound offer. So you get Game Pass, and then you've got all these games at your fingertips.
Right.
It's just unbelievable. The deal is just incredible.
You've got too many.
Yeah.
They did say also, I believe, that xCloud will work with Game Pass. And this is something that when they roll out xCloud proper, that if you have Game Pass, you will be able to stream those games to xCloud. So again, talking about services, we're talking about what is the pro, you know, the Google Pro Stadia account get you? What does Xbox Game Pass get you? Well, now we know it's going to get you 100+ games that you'll be able to stream at any point in time you want.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's not at 4K. It is only at 1080p, up to 60 frames per second. But
if you're on a handheld device, is that going to make?
Also true. So those were some of the big announcements for Stadia. They did also announce some specific games like Rage 2, Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition, Darksiders 3, The Witcher 3, and Final Fantasy 7 through Final Fantasy 15, all coming to Game Pass. So that was huge, especially for Final Fantasy.
All the three of the Yakuza games, Yakuza 0, Kiwami 1 and 2. In fact, Rage 2 is on there now. I've downloaded it today.
Yeah. Yeah, so I downloaded Rage 2 as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of games, a lot of choices. Mm. To be perfectly honest, this has really changed my purchasing habits.
Yeah, we've not bought that much this year, have we?
It really has changed how I buy games. Now, a few more announcements. Big for Master Chief Collection, Halo Reach, which... in my opinion, is the best Halo game out of all of them. Is coming to Master Chief Collection. It'll be available also from xCloud, so you can stream that as well. Pete, if I was ever going to say to try a Halo game, well, it would be Halo Reach.
It's no excuse now, because Master Chief Collection is now on Game Pass.
Yes, yes.
Wow, yes!
Get it downloaded, so Pete.
Master Chief Collection, I'm so excited.
Pete,
get that Halo downloaded.
Pete. All I ask is try Halo Reach.
Yeah, Reach is good.
None of the other games
I've downloaded. I can't play them. Look, here's my Xbox dashboard, right? I've got all these games. Look at this. Sorry for the audio listeners, but I've got absolute tons.
Yeah.
Game Pass is just nuts. Sorry, Mark. I've screwed you,
Ginger. Listen, Ginger. Listen.
Oh, go on. Sorry.
Halo Reach. That's all I want you to try. Halo Reach. Nothing else. Halo Reach.
Yeah.
Just try it.
Greg, I'm sorry.
Halo 4 before it captures me. Okay. How long do you should play this for?
I want you to campaign only. Just give it an hour.
Okay.
I've got a special sound clip for you, Greg, for him.
There's no cure for being a cunt.
when can I download this? Sorry, I missed the
Master
chat.
Chief Collection's out now. I saw it on Game Pass today. When I downloaded Rage 2, Master Chief Collection was there already.
As soon as I hear Halo,
Reach is out on December 3rd.
Yeah, Reach. It is a different story from all the other Halo games. Yeah. So that's what I want you to try.
I liked ODST as well.
I promise you, I will play this game when it comes out.
But Reach is the best story. Like it, yeah.
If I do not like it, there needs to be
We will give you a platform. Yes.
Whether it's you broadcast the following show with your little elves. something's gonna happen.
Speaking of elves. Hey. all right. Also,
elf on a shelf as Greg on a peg.
Yep. A couple more games that did get announced, which I was actually surprised they got announced. So Rare announced a new game called Everwild. This is very different from Sea of Thieves. It felt very Zelda-like to me as I was watching it. That's the impression I got from it, was very, very much Zelda open world kind of exploration game. I can tell by Pete's face and scrunchiness that he's not for him, apparently, off the cuff. I think it might be fantastic.
I don't think the trailer gives that much away, did it? It was very pretty. I was trying to think of a game that Madeline used to play years and years ago, and it, like, or is it Spore?
Yeah.
Yeah, Spore. Very okay. pretty animals or dinosaurs or blah, 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 blah. And it was almost like that. It was all airy fairy like, and it was not
that was kind of like a sim game, which is definitely not your type of game. We know this. This to me did not seem very sim like at all. This seemed much more Zelda exploration, going out into the lands and discovering things.
You got that from the trailer. I thought the trailer was pretty whack.
I don't know. I that's what I took from the trailer.
Well, I'm more excited about the next one.
All right. The next one, which Obsidian announced another project. Now, this is not – so fans of Obsidian at first were freaking out because they thought, oh, this is the next big game they're announcing. No, this is a side project that they got green-lighted. It's a small team that put it together. I think they said like 13 people worked on this. They are working on a different role-playing game outside of this. They revealed Grounded, which
looks
basically,
cool. It's
a new first-person co-op survival type game. Could be interesting. I actually was more excited for Everwild, personally. That, to me, I thought felt a little more unique, but who knows? Maybe Grounded will be the winner. But
it's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids video game,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's just that journey, being a little person running through this vast garden, which, it's just breathtaking. I think the trailer, it plays things off well, like the spider, and it really brings back that 80s. Is it 80s? Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I think it was.
Early 80s.
And it really brings back that memory of just these kids who, just got shrunk by their dad's, crazy gadget.
Yeah, well, that is the premise of this, right? This is you're humans in a, you're shrunken into the world. So you're in a backyard, you're surviving in kind of everyday environments, you know, like a kitchen. You know, if you're a tiny person in a kitchen, what would that be like, kind of thing? So I think it could be fantastic. I think it really could be fantastic. So we'll see. We'll see how it is. But those are the big takeaways from XO19. I don't think there was anything else to talk about. Maybe there was, then I missed. But that was, I think, pretty much it. Well, one more thing. Phil Spencer did say, and I think this is more a nod to some of the failures of the Xbox One, but he basically kind of spoke to the fact that Project Scarlet would be on par with it, or not behind, I should say, PS5 in power or price. So that was important. I think what that tells you is you're not going to get a $500+ Xbox Scarlet box. You're not going to get something that is underpowered, because he also admitted within that same statement, yes, we know Xbox One was less powerful than PlayStation 4 when it came out.
It did a great interview afterwards with, I can't remember who it was now. One of the,
I think it was
IGN. Eurogamer, was it? I thought it was Eurogamer. Rich Webster posted up the link, and I read it all. And yeah, he said that they're not going to make that mistake again.
Right. So that's good news for us as consumers.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned Minecraft Dungeons.
Yeah, it was Eurogamer. I'll put the link in.
Yeah, no. I did not mention that only because that was kind of a known quantity, but it looked fantastic. They showed some gameplay from it. I thought it looked cool.
Yeah?
It looked Gauntlet-like in a lot of ways.
Well, I thought. As soon as I saw that, I thought. But there was only three players, am I right, insane, in that group.
I just remember I saw somebody dressed up like an elf, and I thought, hey, my wizard. That's my character.
Yeah. Looks exciting.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good. That's the only Minecraft game I'll probably ever care about. All right. I have talked long enough. Pete, can you do me a favor and walk us through some new releases and then maybe get into Victory Achieved?
Okay. So, new releases then. Between November the 16th and 23rd, Shenmue 3. I hope I pronounced that right. That's available on the PlayStation 4 PC.
Wait. No, it's Shenmue 3.
It's shit.
Who gives a shit 3?
I don't know why
it's got a massive fan base, hasn't it? But
I know it does. I don't get it. It just boggles my mind. Let me play a game about working.
Okay, well, if you like Shenmue 3 and you disagree with Greg and his mispronunciation, then send us a message and tell Greg to shove off. It's available on November the 19th. We'll be looking forward to hearing from that one person. Civilization 6 is available on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on November 22nd. Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts, and that's on the PS4, Xbox One, PC, and that's available on November 22nd. So that's pretty much the calendar for the next weeks.
No, and there's one more coming out on the 19th of November.
He had to do it, didn't
he? Narcos, Rise of a Cartel.
Ah, yes. Yeah,
Right. Well, after my experience with it, I'd rather skip, but you go on, you boys.
Strategy game, Pete. You'll love it.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
You got really excited about this game, didn't you?
I played it at EGX and I really liked it.
It's
good.
Yeah.
And it's only £25, so it's only going to cost me and Greg £12.50 each. And we've just been on about Game Pass, and we don't really buy games anymore, but we're buying this one.
It happens.
You'd be better spending that at the bar. But if anybody wants to buy this game and send us another message, just to let us know what you think of this game, then you know fill your pants. Boots. Let's move on. I really didn't like that game. Victory achieved. Okay, so this is an ongoing contest that we play all the way through the year, but we break it into four segments. And for this quarter, all you need to do is send in a picture of you completing a video game. It's a selfie with all the credits up on the screen. You need to have a Twitter account, and you basically just need to, like I say, complete this video game and send it into at @OC_podcast, which is our Twitter handle, and hashtag victory achieved. Hopefully, then, you'll be drawn to win either £15 in English cash or $20. I think we send that via Amazon vouchers.
Yeah, right. $20 Mickey Mouse dollars.
Yeah, let's not forget about the £15 in funny money.
And the latest people to complete video games this week is John Mouse, completed Modern Warfare, Chopper Kelly, The Outer Worlds, Mark Annex, our very own, completed Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Hardly
not
Dan.
Available. Not available to win the game.
No, I can't win.
Hardly Dan, completed two this week. Gears 5 and State of Mind, well done. Amras 89 completed The Outer Worlds as well. Caliburn M, also greedy, game greedy, completed FIFA 17, The Journey. Well, it was a hell of a journey. It took you 2 years.
Yeah, but it was quite surprised by it. He quite enjoyed it. He said it was good.
It took you 2 years to say it's good. Anyway, I'm sorry for giving you a stick, Caliburn M. Also completed Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter.
I believe he and Mike Chin are the only people that play Sherlock Holmes games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Your brother, big on Sherlock Holmes. I don't know why.
Well,
he likes the CSI games and everything, doesn't he? And they were shit. Yeah. I've played some of them.
Sad. Yeah. He's sad. But no, he's a great guy. He brought me an Oculus Quest. So quickly turn that table. We'll continue. There's three more. Dave O'Mac, a completed Modern Warfare. Rain God Zippo, completed Star Wars Jedi Fallen
already?
Order.
It's just
already
wacky.
You must have gotten it early somehow. I don't know.
Brian,
that's
you
amazing.
Animal.
Well, there we go. One of these speedrunners he is, maybe. Or she. Fletch 90. Good old Dan. Completed Life is Strange Before the Storm. Ooh,
I tried the Life is Strange games. I could not get on with them. I had a hard time getting into
them. I like them. Well, the other thing is as well, because the Life is Strange 2, apparently they said that it was available on Xbox Game Pass. I mean, Chapter 1 was, and they advertised it again in the recent EXO 2019. So I'm hoping that the whole game's available now to play, but we'll soon see that. Anyway, going off on a tangent there. So these beautiful people have so far won this for now.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have won a victory's achieved.
So that's pretty much it for that. And Greg, you can close us off.
I can, yes. Hey, look, if you have been listening so far, we thank you. We're appreciative of that. In fact, we're so appreciative that, Mark, I believe you've been paying attention, or attention. That's the other way to say it.
Attention.
You pay attention right now to the Twitch chat. Do a favor and shout everybody out, all 5 million of them that have been watching, or less, possibly.
Right, hang on.
You need your glasses, Mark.
RCGC, Scott Stubby, Tenaxa, Pudge69420, Lurks, Commander Root, who's a bot, and another TTV viewer who's also a bot. So, yeah.
Quiet night, but that's okay. Thank you for listening. If you have been listening, we do appreciate it. Again, you can catch us on Twitch, you can catch us on Mixer, YouTube. We broadcast 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. If you're out in Australia waking up this morning, having a coffee, thinking, what should I do? If it's 7 o'clock, tune in. We're live. iTunes, Stitcher, tune in. Give us reviews. YouTube, occasionally when we get our video to post, give us a review. We would love to play games with you. We have been playing a ton of Call of Duty Modern Warfare. It does not matter what console you are on, or even PC, because it's cross-platform. So you can shoot us a friend request. We can add you in. In fact, when we do our shout-outs, we should all give our Activision IDs, just so this way people can add us, send a friend request. And, yeah, we can play games. We'll play games with you. We are a fun, friendly group of individuals. Except for Pete. He's an angry ginger. Rah. And you know what? That's just cue it, Mark. Play the audio.
Whoops.
Wrong audio.
You like
it? It's the next button
we
to
like
it.
You. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us. podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. And now, I know people are probably like, why do you guys even play the audio? Because you could probably just say that. We play it, one, to celebrate Nicole, because we still love her to death. We love hearing her voice every podcast. And two, it gives us the ability to always add in a different sound effect at the end of it, like Mark did.
Yeah. And three, after 500 shows, you get fed up of saying every week, email us,
also true.
Contact us. So yeah, it's just easy just to press a button now.
But hey, you know, that does leave
me. It's a have a way.
It is. That's true. But I do want to throw this out there. If you're listening to this, and we'll throw this up on our social media platforms as well, but if you're getting Stadia, if you still are getting Stadia, we want to hear about what your experience is, what you think. If you decided to cancel Stadia, I would love to hear from you. You know, what was it? Did you know? I know we have some community members that had it. They decided to cancel it last minute.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear from you as well. Some feedback there. Why you decided to cancel last minute? Was it the lack of faith? Or was it just a kind of a decision of, hey, you know what, I can't afford it. That's fine. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever.
Or a case of they're not living up to what they originally promised.
Well, there's that too.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Let's do some shout-outs. Mark, I have a headache. Not tonight, honey. Would you start us off, please?
Big shout-out to Jenny and to you guys for all your support this past week. So it's really helped. That's about it, really. It's been one of those weeks. Not else, really. How about you, Pete?
I'm going to shout out my immediate family for all of their kindness, for their presents and stuff. For my presents for my birthday. I thought it was really kind of them. I had a special time. It was ace. And also everybody else who sent me messages. I thought it was really kind of you to take that time out to send me a message. I'm going to shout out my kids. Because it's their birthday over these past 7 days, of the twins coming up, and Leo's just gone. My aunt as well, God bless you. And I think that's about it from me. Greg?
All right. Pete, I want to congratulate you. You actually passed it along for the first time. Well, good job. Well done. Pat on the top of the head.
I was gonna do that, and I thought, no, all right, I'll change it up a little bit.
Good ginger. Right. I need to
racist.
Racist. You can't be racist with ginger. Oh. Colorist, maybe. You know, coloring of your hair. I don't know. By the way, thank you for the beard. Once again, the beard coming back. I recognize you again. Now I'm thinking, where's Tintin gone? Anyway, I want to shout out the waitress at the Buckaroos House, which is the place where my wife was buying a bunch of Christmas fairy elves. That's a long story. They are very expensive things. There was a signing by the guy who creates them. His name is Mark Roberts. They are collectibles. There's a big following to it. It was a big whoop-de-do, red carpet type event. But this waitress went and got champagne, and I was there with my son out in the front of the restaurant. We didn't actually go in. We were sitting out in front kind of enjoying the nice weather. I was feeding him some lunch. She brought out a glass of champagne, another glass of champagne, another glass of champagne. So I had 3.5 glasses of champagne while I was sitting there while my wife was in spending a lot of money. But that was fantastic. So she didn't have to do that, obviously, and that was appreciative. So thank you to her. Thank you to the two of you. You actually made the show. You are committed, unlike the other scabs that work on our team. You know, just saying, they're a bunch of carpetbagger northerners that don't have, you know, want to live up to the promises of being on the podcast.
And he says, I'm angry.
No. Big shout outs to the two of you, though. Seriously, always fun podcasting with you guys. So having a blast. Again, shout out to the listeners. Thank you so much for listening. Follow us. Give us reviews. Send emails. Be part of the show. Give us your feedback. Give us your comments, whether it be on Twitter, on Facebook, or an email. Get involved. It's fun. It's more fun when we hear from you as well. And with that said, Mark, play that funky music.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
It's a pleasure.
Do I really come across that angry?
No, God, no.
Oh. It might be because I need a wee.
Maybe. Yeah, okay.
I was thinking, should I go in the news section? And then I've held it in. And
go. All right. We'll see you later.
All right, take care. Right. I've really enjoyed tonight. It's been great coming back. I know it's only 2 weeks off, but it's felt like a month, and it's been nice. So thank you both. It's been nice.
Pete.
What?
He's gone.